Apostle Michael Arabo.
Give the Lord a shout. I don't sense your energy. I don't sense your energy. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Shout glory. Are you ready? Again, it's my honor and privilege to be here this morning. I want to salute God's servant, Venerable Akebonu, for raising this tall platform for Jesus. It's such a great honor to be here to minister to God's people. So many hungry hearts. Thank you, sir, for all you do for the kingdom. I salute the entire team that have been laboring with him, from the pastorate to the ushering unit to the media to the security. Everybody, the Lord bless you richly in the name of Jesus. And for everybody that has made out time to come, the Lord increase you, strengthen you, and make you a joy of many generations. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord quickly. We have a very short time. I will just give us some capsules this morning because we are out of time. And I believe that we will mount up with wings like the eagles. Talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. Let Him sense your expectation. Let Him sense your hunger. In the spirit, you can perceive hunger. You can sense it. When a deer begins to pant after the presence, you can pick the vibration. You can perceive it. Go ahead and pray. We God.
God once again. Let His glory fill you.
Elohim Adonai,
Elohim,
Elohim Adonai,
Elohim,
Elohim Adonai,
Elohim, Elohim,
Elohim.
Oh,
Holy Adonai.
We thank you. We love you. We extol your name. Take all the praise, take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Please sit down for a moment. Let me share briefly. We need to learn to worship God. Just to love Him, to enjoy His presence. Not for power or for Him to do something. Just love Him. Allow yourself to mingle with Him sometimes. It's very important. My friend and big brother is here this morning, Reverend Daniel O'Daniel. Please celebrate God's servant. He's a dear friend to Apostle Joshua Selman. He's brought him to the East for more than 6 years consecutively. And it will be difficult for Apostle to be in the East and he's not around. It's good to have you, sir. Thank you so much. I honor you. Thank you so much. God bless you. I just want to share with us, my goodness, we have eaten into 15 minutes of our time already. Let's see what God will tell us in the next 30 minutes. Are we ready? We've been trying to consider the subject of the church. We tried to define terms for the first two sessions I took. And yesterday we looked at how purposeful the church is to a generation. And this morning, I just want to touch one vital aspect of our operation as a people that gives us an advantage. You know, if you don't consider the scripture very deliberately to understand what was, you will not know the degree of departure that we are suffering currently. So sometimes when I deal with this subject, I try to take us back to understand the quality of life that the people of old experienced. That way, it will help us to see and to realize the degree of departure that we have suffered. We will not appreciate the place of prayer until we have seen the riches that is available to the saints in the spirit and the degree to which certain men of old tapped into these riches. Meanwhile, this is not only available to them, it's available to all. But the thing with spiritual realities is you will have to the degree that you desire and labor for. So the Bible began to tell us in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now the first word of emphasis is all. That means in the benevolence of God. Pardon me, my voice is bad. In the benevolence of God, He didn't give us some of the things He had and kept some. Everything that is within His quiver, He made it available to humankind. Now, when you check the realms of the angels, it is not all God has that is available to them. For example, redemption is not available to the angelic realm. When Lucifer fell, there was nothing that was done to restore him. The reason is because, by reason of their design, they were created as eternal beings living in eternal dimensions. So when you fall in the realms eternal, whatever happens to you there is forever and ever. So the nature of their design already made it impossible for them to enjoy the benevolence of God called redemption. So even if the angels wanted to be saved today, it is impossible to save an angel. When an angel falls, that angel falls eternally. But it is not so in the realm of man, because God wants to give man all spiritual blessing. There is an intelligence wired into the dispensation of man called reproduction. And on the strength of reproduction, when man fell, God became man, and he entered the womb of a virgin, and he was born as a man. And through that intelligence, it was possible to redeem man. The same thing that happened to man was what happened to Lucifer. Adam rebelled. Lucifer rebelled. What is the difference? The difference is that all spiritual blessing is available to man. And one of those spiritual blessings is God's redemption. So as powerful as the angelic realm is, there is no redemption available to them. So there are many things that are available to mortals that is not available to the immortal beings of heaven, because it is not given to them to enjoy all spiritual blessings. But the problem in the equation is that the all spiritual blessings are not earthly. They are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if they were earthly, they would have suffered corruption with time. Because everything that is of the earth, the Bible said it is earthy. And we understand that the outward perishes. So God deliberately decided to preserve them in the spirit. Because if he kept them on earth, they will corrupt with time. So every blessing God has, he decided to upload them into the realm of the spirit. So they are spiritual. Now, because these blessings are spiritual, there are definite spiritual technologies that God makes available for us to ascend to the realms where these blessings are. So the reason healing is available to everybody, but few have it, is because healing is a spiritual blessing. It is uploaded in the spirit. So any man that wants it have to ascend to get it. The reason everything God has is supposed to be available to everybody, but our enjoyment of spiritual things is subject to the cater in the spirit where we operate, is because there is a requirement of ascendancy. Now, the only way you can ascend into the uploaded realities in the spirit is a technology called prayer. This is why prayer is too important. The quality of a man's life is the quality of his altar. When a man's altar begins to suffer, the man's life begins to suffer. Why? Because all your blessings are spiritual. And the place where you take your flight to ascend into your blessing is not in the market. You can be doing business in the market, but your blessing is not in the market. Your blessing is in the spirit. The market is only a platform by which your blessing can find expression. For you to download your blessing, you must know how to ascend into the spirit. So the men of old, they understood this technology. So they decided to pitch their tent in the spirit. Adam, who was the first man, lived perpetually in the presence, because he knew the power to rule the earth was not on earth. It was in the spirit. So the man lived a completely spiritual life. And when you see the quality of life that Adam lived. Now, Adam did not have eternal life. Because eternal life was planted in the tree of life. He didn't have access to eternal life. Yet, because Adam did business in the spirit, the quality of life that Adam lived, there are many Christians today that have not touched 10% of the kind of life that Adam lived. What is the difference? You and I have eternal life, but we can't command the level of authority that Adam commanded. There was so much power with Adam that Adam could regulate seasons by his presence in Eden. The constellations were kept by Adam. And that's why when Adam fell, the Bible said the whole earth, that means the star, the moon, the seasons, they left their course because Adam fell. That means seasons were not just regulated by the sun and the moon. It was the presence of Adam in the garden that determined when dry season came and when rainy season came. He had such power with God. And if you think it's a lie, there is a man called Joshua. There was a time Israel went to war and Joshua was fighting. And Joshua knew that his advantage was the fact that he fought under the ray of the sun. And when the sun wanted to go down, Joshua stood up and said, "Let the sun stand upon the mountains of Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon the valley of Gibeon." And the Bible said, the sun did not make haste to go down. And he said, neither did the moon make haste to go up. Why? He said, in that day, God hearkened to the voice of a man. How did they have so much power? That means if this man planted crops, they can tell the rain, keep falling. And even in dry season, the rain will fall. Samuel told Israel, if you think I have not spoken by the Lord, he said, this is dry season. It will rain now. And instantly, the Bible said, it thundered from heaven and rain began to fall in dry season. How do they have so much power? Elijah said, before God, whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew. And he said, it did not rain for 3.5 years because one man spoke. Do you know how many farmers are in Israel? Do you have an idea how many farmers were in Israel? But a man stood up and said, rain will not fall. And he defied weather for 3.5 years. If you like, bring an astrologer. If you like, bring a geographer. There was nothing they could do to change the effect of what he said. He locked the heaven and he put the key in his pocket and he went to a brook. A point came. The king tried all he knew and he discovered, wait, this thing is not about kingship. This thing is about authority in the spirit. I am king, but it's about authority in the spirit. So a point came. The king released a search party and everybody was looking for Elijah. Until Elijah said, what power? When Elijah was satisfied, he now told the king, hurry home. He didn't say, go home. He said, hurry home. There will be an abundance of rain. Hurry home. Because this man knew that the earth is controlled by the heavens. So they don't lobby on the earth for power. They lobby the heavens. The man who has power in the spirit will control everybody that is on earth. So they knew the way of ascension. Adam had no life of God, but Adam determined seasons in Eden. Adam was so much in God's presence that Adam was not surviving by oxygen. If you don't breathe for 5 minutes, you will be shocked that you will die. Adam was not living on oxygen. Adam was breathing the presence of God. And you think it's a lie. Jeremiah understood the technology, that it was in the spirit. So they threw Jeremiah into a soakaway. And Jeremiah was under a pit in a soakaway. And he was prophesying from there. He was prophesying. Paul, the apostle, said, a day and a half I was in the deep. So Paul was under the ocean for 1.5 days. How was he surviving? Not everybody lives by oxygen. There are men that have breathed the oxygen of heaven so much that even if you take them into a pit, they will live. Because man shall not live by bread alone. There are other technology. I know a man many years ago, whether he was in the flesh or out of the flesh, I can't tell. That means when you take Paul from his body, he's still alive. Because Paul won't die before he leaves his body. By reason of intercourse in the spirit, Paul could live both within and without his body. He said that man was carried to the third heavens. Such were the powers that this man carried. This is what we call heavenly blessings. That's why Paul said he has power to abound and to abase. So Paul is not manipulated by his circumstances. He can change it. A day came, Paul went to preach. They stoned him to death. And when they checked and confirmed that Paul had died, they left. The church came, stood around him, and Paul stood up and said, let's go to the next city. Do you know what it means to be stoned to death? Do you know the injury that we incur? The guy stood up. He didn't say, is there a doctor here? I need medication. He said, let's go to the next city. A man who was stoned to death stands up and says he wants to go to the next city. How? How? He doesn't survive by blood. There is something in him. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. He said, but I have chosen to be with you. That means you can't keep Paul. These men don't die. They lay down their lives. That's heavenly blessings. It doesn't matter if there is tuberculosis, malaria, or COVID. They will go there and they will say, wear mask. Which mask? But our churches today, it is doctors that tell us how to live. And I'm not against medicine. But I'm telling you, there is a place called the place of the heavenly blessings. When you will defy medical science. And you will become a wonder to your generation. We heard stories of John G. Lake in South Africa. A plague killing people. And the guy showed up. He was helping people. And he was not contacted. And they say, why? He said, I have eternal life. I have exercised my soul in eternal life. And they would put the virus in his hands. And the virus will die. Why? Because they carry heaven everywhere they go to. And viruses don't survive in heaven. When Christians are running helter-skelter, it's because they've not ascended in the spirit. That's why I told you, prayer is not about time. Prayer is ascension to the mountain of God. Prayer is translation. Prayer is transfiguration. He said, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment glistened. When Jesus told us, lay hands on the sick, did Jesus not know that there are certain sicknesses that if you touch, you will contact it? Why did he say to lay hands? The reason is because it is not you that we contact. It is the sick person that we contact. Because something is not supposed to transfer to you. Things will transfer from you to things. And it's not just limited to sickness. You can come to your business when you begin to live the ascended life. And you will tell your business, begin to prosper. Begin to prosper. You will be shocked. When they needed food, they said they have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, bring it here. How do you say, bring it here?
when there are 5,000 men. By what technology?
And he lifted it up and said, I thank thee, O Father. He said, take, share it.
How do you share 5 loaves and 2 fishes to 5,000 people? Who do you start with?
But as they shared, it began to multiply.
These are technologies in God. It began to multiply. So a point will come when you are doing business. It looks as if things are not working. What you need to do is not to start running around.
It's to turn to the business and begin to prophesy.
When you are done praying, you command the business to begin to multiply. You will be shocked. After your degree, somebody will call you from Germany.
And say, I heard that you deal with spare parts. I want to start importing spare parts to Nigeria.
How did it happen? You manipulated him by prayer. This is what the blessing is. The blessing is not a man gave you 5,000. No. The blessing is not a man gave you 1 million. The blessing is that there is something in you that gives you power to get wealth. When you tell people to pray, they think it's a religious exercise. No. If prayer was a religious exercise, it would have been useless. The first thing prayer does for us is that prayer helps us to migrate to the realm of God. There are too many Christians living on earth. The Bible said the first Adam is of the earth and is earthy. It said the second Adam is of the heaven and is heavenly. We are of the order of the second Adam. So the things that regulate us are the laws of heaven.
But what's the quality of our lives? The quality of our lives is a testimony of our prayerlessness. You look at yourself and say things are not working. No, things are working. It's your prayer that is not working. The day your prayer begins to work, things will begin to work. Now, when you say these things among the heathen, it doesn't make sense to them. They say you are being religious because they don't know the laws of heaven. We know. You are going for an interview. Do you know the questions they will ask you? So the way to determine the question they will ask you is to manipulate them in prayer. When you pray and you go there, they will ask you only what you know. And sometimes what you know is not what you read in the university. While you are in the taxi going for that interview, the taxi driver will tell you something. And the question they will ask you in the interview will be what the taxi driver told you. And they want to give you a job of an astronaut. When did the taxi driver study it? He didn't study it. But God put it on his mouth because you prayed it from the spirit. Prayer is not a religious exercise. Prayer is what helps you to download heavenly blessings to earth. Because all your blessings are in the heavenly place.
Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Is this to discourage you from hard work? No. Is this to discourage you from using your brain? No.
But if you are using your brain, do you know how many people are using their brain in Onitsha only? Do you know the population of Onitsha? You are selling food. Do you know how many people are selling food? You read physics. You read medicine and surgery. Do you know how many people study physics and read medicine?
You need an edge. You need an edge. That edge is your ability to download what is of the heavens.
Many Christians, they do everything apart from prayer. This is why we struggle. Because when we come, we want to run with them at their frequency. If you run with them at their frequency, you will suffer. You need an edge. That edge is your ability to download the blessings of heaven. It's called prayer.
Jesus, the Bible said, He was the light of the world. The Bible said, in him was life. The life was the light of man. But can I surprise you? Jesus could not shine for 30 years. Jesus, the Son of God, could not shine for 30 years. For 30 years, they knew him as the carpenter, the son of Joseph. It was after he went to pray and fast for 40 days and 40 nights when he returned. The Bible said, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. He was born a light. Why did he not shine? When the Bible said, arise, shine, thy light is come. The word arise is the word prayer. If you don't pray, you will not shine. If Jesus could not shine for 30 years, who told you you can shine? You will be born. They will tell you at the age of 7, you are a prophet. It's not a lie. At the age of 25, an angel will appear to you and say you are a prophet. It's not a lie. But the day you will prophesy is the day you start praying. Because that economy is in the spirit. It is prayer that will bet it. It says, as soon as Zion travails. Not as later. As soon as Zion travails. So the moment there is travail, there is the right to bet. If there is no travail, there can be no betting. Can I shock you? Most of you sitting here today, you are supposed to be national voices by now. Most of you sitting here today, you are supposed to be global economic merchants now. But there is a wisdom that makes for economic excellence. That wisdom is in you, but it's locked. When you begin to pray, it opens up. And it will open so wide that even when you are sleeping, you'll be dreaming of what to do. Because time will no longer be enough. There is so much transfer of spiritual current that you'll be sleeping and then you'll be knowing what to do. When you wake up, you'll say, stand up, go and buy fertilizer. What do you mean fertilizer? There are no farmers in Indonesia. Go and buy fertilizer. Because you saw it in the spirit. And after 6 months, every farmer in Benue State begins to come to Onitsha to buy fertilizer. You have it in 20 warehouses. How did you know? You went ahead in prayer. That's how we rule in this realm. Do you think you should graduate from school before you become a millionaire? Who told you that? It is not written anywhere that your millions is tied to your certificate. Your million is tied to your revelation into the mysteries that rule this realm. And you can tap into that frequency at the age of 19. You can tap into that frequency at the age of 25. And you can also choose to tap into that frequency at the age of 70. I'm telling you why the devil is stopping you from praying. Because he knows the key to your blessing is in your prayer. There is so much you won't see. It will be in front of you, you won't see it. When Abraham sent Hagar and his son away, he gave them only a bottle of water. How do you survive in the wilderness with a bottle of water? But Hagar had learned something. When he watched Abraham, he discovered that Abraham's life was littered with altars. So he knew that Abraham was not prospering because Abraham was a headsman. He knew Abraham was prospering because there is a spirit that Abraham always consults on the altar. So when Hagar was traveling with her son and they came to a point where the water finished, there was a well by her side, but she didn't see it. Most of you, your breakthrough is in your room, but you can't see it because there is something that opens your eyes. It was when Hagar prayed and cried, all of a sudden God now told her, I have heard the cry of your baby. What do you mean? Was my baby not crying since? Why didn't you hear? It was when she prayed and God told her to rise up, turn to the right. And she took few steps and she discovered there was a well there. And God did not only give her a well. God told her, from this boy, I will raise 12 princes. The foundation of the Arab nation today is predicated upon the prayer of Hagar. She prayed in the wilderness And she raised a generation that is unstoppable. Meanwhile, you are here telling everybody that there is debt in your family. No, there is no debt in your family. There is prayerlessness in your family. There is no debt. You say there is poverty in your family. There is no poverty in your family. There is prayerlessness in your family. Because nobody has ascended to heaven to break that curse and to open the door of favor. We call what is not the problem, the problem. That's why we have no solution. If you think it's about debt, if you think it's about sickness, if you think it's about poverty, you will waste your life around what is not your problem. And you will not find solution. The reason is because while you are saying debt, 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 the Holy Ghost is telling you prayer, prayer, prayer. The day you begin to pray, it looks as if you left the problem, but that's when you started dealing with the problem. Not religion. Some of you, what you need is just to meet the right person. But there's a demon that always makes you take the wrong turn. So when the person is coming right, you take left. When the person is coming left, you take right. And you have walked like that for 15 years. And the Holy Ghost is telling you, no, there's a voice behind you telling you, this is not the way to go. But you can't hear. So that connection keeps eluding you. For 15 years, the day you begin to pray, you may be sleeping in your house and you hear stand up. And you stand up and say, go to the junction. And then you walk to the junction without money. And right there, that person will come and meet you. The person you have not met in 10 years. Your prayer will guide your step. That's why I said the step of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. It is in prayer. It's not religion. Many people go to pray and they carry 30 prayer points. Forget it. You don't even know what you need. He said, we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. Even if you know what you need, you don't know the extent to pray it. So stop distracting yourself with prayer points. Become a man of prayer. And all your prayer points will be answered. You won't even know when. Because when you say, Kabarado Kunkada, you have answered 10 prayer points, even the ones you don't know. You are praying for an interview, meanwhile there is an accident ahead. How do you know there is an accident? Except as you switch out of human frequency and you enter the angelic frequency. So I was praying for an interview, Lord, I will have the job, and all of a sudden the spirit of prayer comes on me. Marak. I leave the interview, I face the accident, and I shift the accident away, and then I come back to my interview. That's the way of prayer. When men cry, angels wonder. You have what we don't have. How come you are disadvantaged? Because you don't use what you have. A man will go looking for another man for 3 weeks. Meanwhile, his altar is desolate for 3 weeks. Because there's a misplacement of priorities. You can't talk on your altar for 30 minutes, but you can go and narrate your story to somebody for 2 hours. Meanwhile, before you came, the person told the wife, why is this person troubling me? And then you came, you are talking. He said, oh. And then you now think that, oh boy, and they make point to, you now went further. And then you talk. When you finish talking for 2 hours, you will say, hey, brother, times are hard now. But I will think about what you have said. The moment you go, he will tell his wife, please, next time he comes, lock the door. Meanwhile, the door of heaven is open to you. You have never accessed it. Before you talk to men, talk to God. Elohim Madonna. God told Abraham to go to Bethel. When Abraham came, the Canaanites were there. A man who doesn't know who talks to him would have gone to ask, who does the head's business here? Who rests animals here? Because he wants to build human connection. When Abraham came, the first thing the Bible said was that he went and pitched an altar. He built an altar. His greatest fraternity was not with men. It was with altars. Abraham didn't go looking for the richest man in the land. And I'm not saying that's wrong if God is leading you. But Abraham built an altar. And from that altar, the king came and met him. On his altar, the king came and met him there. And the king said, please, let us go into a covenant. Because I have seen that you are greater than us. And when Abraham was leaving, he taught Isaac the same principle. And Isaac at first wanted to be human. When he wanted to run from Gerar to Egypt, he said, stay still in Gerar. Go and do what your father taught you. And in Gerar, the guy built an altar. It was on that altar that the Bible said, Isaac became great and exceeding great until the Philistines envied him. So much so that the king was afraid. And the king said, wait. You and I need to go into an agreement. Because if we don't, you are bigger than us. How can one man be bigger than a nation? It is the technology of altars. Have you not seen people? They are lone rangers. They are just preaching. Reinhard Bonnke had no church. But if Reinhard Bonnke is coming to a city, the whole churches will gather and all the pastors will become ushers. General overseers. Some are general overseers of churches in 10 nations. But if Reinhard Bonnke is coming, even the general, or they will have what they call central executive council. And it's senior pastors that struggle to be there. When Reinhard Bonnke finishes, they will take offering. He will give them to help them. He will lead the offering to help the territory. He had no church. But by prayer, the man became so big that he was bigger than continents. Meanwhile, we are strategizing in the flesh. Because we know if we don't do this, when we are old, we'll be small. A man who prays is never small. Because he has company on earth and in heaven. Whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. For those of you who are young, you have an advantage. You don't need a house yet. You're on campus. So what you are doing now is that you are storing investment in the spirit. When you come out as a youth copper, somebody will dash you a house. And then they are wondering about you. They're lucky. There is nothing such as luck on the face of the earth. There are over 8 billion people on earth. Do you know when your turn will come if you are waiting for luck? That's why we change things in the spirit. Because we know if it is luck, you may be 90 years old before your turn comes. And then they give you a house at the age of 90. What do you do with it? They give you money at the age of 90. They say, come and go to America. And then you enter the plane. When you land, your whole body is aching. And the moment you enter America, you have pneumonia because you can't manage cold. Because you waited to be old. God told you are a healing minister. And then you did nothing about it on the altar. Until when you are 70 years old, you now say you want to start a revival campaign. Which revival campaign? Even if you are raising the dead, if you go for one crusade and come back, my back, you will lie down for 1 month. That's why he said, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. So if you are not praying, start praying now. You tap into the frequency of your blessings when you pray. And the reason is because your blessing is in heavenly places. Number two, we were not ordained to beg. We were not ordained to look for favor. We were not ordained to suffer. And I will explain to you. The suffering of a believer is not hardship, it's persecution. If a man is going through hardship, that's not of God. It is his inability to deploy the resources of wisdom, hard work, intelligence, that makes him go through hardship. The suffering of a believer is trials and persecution. They are two different things. So you were not ordained to suffer. You were not ordained to look for favor. You were not ordained to beg. Why? Because he made us kings and priests. Kings don't beg. So when a believer is begging, there is a problem. If a believer is running around looking for favor, there is a problem. By reason of his ordination, favor should look for him. Because he's a king. Have you seen a king who goes about before looking for who will help him? People come to his house with gifts. But what is the problem? The problem is that you only have power to command after you have prayed. That means your word will not have power and authority if you don't pray. In Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, Jesus said, have faith in God. He said, I tell you most assuredly, if you will speak to this mountain and say to it, be thou removed, and you do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. And he went further in verse 24. And he said, whatsoever ye desire, when thou prayest. Whatsoever. That means you are only permitted to command after you have prayed. There are many Christians wishing things. There are many Christians making commands that are falling to the ground. The reason is because what holds your command in the spirit is the prayer investment that you have put on the line. There are many believers that have no prayer investment. They are only talkers. The mountain will not move because whatsoever you desire, it is when you have prayed that you will command it. So he said, I have seen an abomination on the face of the earth, that princes are walking on foot while beggars are riding on horses. So the equation has been altered because of our prayerlessness. A man who is enthroned is the one struggling. Meanwhile, the son of the bondwoman is the one riding. What is the error? It is lack of prayerlessness. Your revelation, your rhema, and your principle will not work because it is in prayer that God breathes on it. The breath of the Almighty, that's what makes the difference. But many don't pray. They think prayer is a religious thing. So when they come for prayer meeting, that's when they pray. Who told you that's how it works? Prayer meeting is the least time of prayer. The idea behind prayer meeting is first to allow corporate fellowship. Secondly, is to help us deal with issues that require corporate ranking. No prayer man is better from a prayer minister, from a prayer meeting. Not one. Every prayer man is trained and exercised on his personal altar. The fire on the altar must not be put out. Our generation is one that will flash prayer meeting. It's beautiful, but no prayer man rises from prayer meeting. At best, he will become a prayer leader. And when you come, you are leading prayer. You are sweating. Go to your bedroom and try it. That's when you will know your stature in prayer. Your stature in prayer is not in a prayer meeting. There may be one intercessor praying and is generating energy, and you are riding on the strength of that intercessor. When you go to your bedroom, you will need to find your wings in the spirit and ascend by the Spirit of God. That's when you know strong men. You can't identify strong men in the prayer meeting, because in the prayer meeting we are a team. But when you get to your altar, that's when you will know how many hours you can clock in the spirit. When you want to become a captain as a pilot, you will clock 10,000 hours in the air. A man who is a warrior in the spirit, there are hours that he will clock on the altar. And when you see that man, you can know, even from his voice. When you talk, you know a voice that has been engaging the spiritual. When you see a man who has been on the altar, there is an aroma that he carries. There's an aroma. When that man talks, he provokes hunger in people. When that man comes out, you can perceive it. There is an aroma men carry from the altar. But you see, we are a generation that can no longer produce the fragrances of the spirit because we don't know the way to the spirit. We know principles, we know theories, but our voices have no authority in the realm. When you come there, they don't know you. Meanwhile, there are certain men, they have troubled heaven so much with prayer that a point comes, they say, come. We are tired of hearing you knock. Come up. Come up here. He said, I was in the eye called Patmos. This is a man of prayer. They tried to kill him. They tied him to chariots, rode him through the city. He couldn't die. They threw him into boiling oil. He couldn't die. They now say, okay, since you can't die, we will throw you to an island. There is no food there. There is no water there. And he laughed. I don't survive from earth. I survive from heaven. And when they threw him, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And as I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. The man had moved from earth. His name is called John the Beloved. They thought they were throwing him to Patmos. They didn't know that anywhere the man was, he had the power to erect heaven. You can't kill such a man. If you take him to the wilderness will become a forest. From Patmos, he entered Zion. Why? He had troubled Zion so much, so they say, no, we are tired. Sometimes when we are knocking, we are in a meeting in heaven. So the only way to stop this, you're always knocking. Come and participate. Come and participate. I heard a story. Oh, there are some things you can't share. When you start sharing, they say it's heresy. They say it's heresy. I know every step of the way how God helped me. I'm not telling you theories. I know. There are people preaching better messages than what we are saying. What we are saying, it doesn't even edify some people. When they hear it, they are like, what is he saying? But you see, there is a room of trumpets in heaven. When that room opens to you, if you come down, you come down with a trumpet. Every time you talk, it's the alarm of Zion. That's what John had. The Bible said, John didn't go to the city center. He went to the wilderness. And as he cried, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. What was John's message? John was not pampering people. They came and said, you brood of vipers. How do you go to listen to a man who calls you a brood of viper? Because you have a trumpet from the spirit. Repent! And the whole city goes there. Meanwhile, you come. You are talking about the mystery of the virgin birth, the mystery of the angelic realm, all the mystery you are preaching. Nobody can hear you because you don't know where the trumpets of heaven are. Refuse to be a man of earth. Refuse. Refuse to hear stories that other men share. Also hear it. Also see it. Also participate in it. That's how you become a ranking being on earth. I heard a story. Let me keep my stories. It will affect somebody. One of the Celtic fathers, they went to explore the mountains of Tibet. Archaeologists. And when they went to explore the mountain of Tibet, they found a man there who was like a baboon. Every hair on his body was as long as the length of his hand. And they thought they saw a beast. And when the man looked up, he began to talk to them. They thought he was a creature. And he told them no. He had been in that mountain for 400 years praying. In the place of prayer, something happened to him. His heart was changed from the heart of a man. And God said he won't die. And he has been praying there for 400 years. He lost track of time. Hope you know, when you pray, something happens to you. You are exposed to the presence so much that it alters your atoms and molecular structure. That was why when Moses was praying, his body began to shine. There is no biochemical interpretation for the body to shine. But there was an alteration and re-engineering of his molecular structure. Moses' molecular structure was so altered that Moses crossed the boundary of death. And Moses could no longer die. When Moses violated God, God himself had to kill him. Because the structure of the man had been changed. Meanwhile, there are Christians today dying of sicknesses and affliction. There is an exposure that you will expose yourself to the presence. It will kill everything that is of death in your system. And a point will come, even at the age of 70, you'll be walking and you'll be strong. The man of God was sharing yesterday, I think it was 30. At the age of 80, Paul was telling them to bring his parchments. He wants to read. Meanwhile, in our world today, at the age of 45, people are already using glasses. Because we have not exposed ourselves to the presence of God enough. So the body is dying. The Bible said at 120, the strength of Moses was not reduced, neither his eyes abated. The guy was as strong as he was at the age of 40. It was Caleb that told Moses, at the age of 80, my strength is as it was when I was 40. Give me this mountain, I will take it. How did this man become so strong? Is by exposing themselves to the presence. So every time they go there, they are renewed. The molecular structure is altered. They come out stronger than they ever were. It was Sadosamara that told the story of Sadosamara Singh. Hunger wanted to kill him. And he went to Mount Kailash in India. And he was there. He prayed there for 500 years. God came and took his heart and said, you will not die. So the man doesn't live by blood. These are the wealth that we carry. Why do you think that a Christian is expected to change his world if all he has is the wisdom from the university? If all he has is the intelligence from his background? How can you be the light of the world? How can you be the salt of the earth? You must come to earth with something that is not of earth. The only way to enter there is prayer. Is it not pathetic that 2,000 of us will gather, we will declare something, it will still not happen. We will have a crusade, we say, it will not rain. The first day of the crusade, it will rain from morning till night. And then we come back to explain and say, it's because of, what was that? Meanwhile, one man without preparation, he came to the Red Sea. Elijah wouldn't stop. He left four cities. Elijah was still following him. So he came to the Red Sea and he took his garment. The Red Sea that God parted for over 4 million people. What God did for 4 million people, he can do for one man if he knows where to stand. Do you know that in this state, some people are enjoying the blessing that is equivalent to the blessing of the state? The guy took his mantle, he struck the water, and the water parted. And he walked over to the other side. What kind of men are those? What kind of men? They live the supernatural life as if it was normal. And the reason is because they've lived in the spirit for too long that the supernatural have become normal to them. Your struggle is not with your business. Your struggle is with your altar. If you win the struggle of your altar, your business will succeed naturally. Your struggle is not with marriage. Your struggle is with your altar. If you win the struggle of your altar, the marriage will happen on its own accord. Imagine the number of people that came to listen to a man. Imagine what will happen if all of us here will wait on the altar and say, we too will hear God. You have been here for 3 days. When was the last time you locked yourself in your room for 3 days? and say, this God, I must hear him. When was the last time? When it becomes programmed, we are already religiously programmed to respond. What we are saying is beyond a program. It's life in the spirit. Imagine if every month you could lock yourself for just 3 days and say, I will start the month from the mountain. You will be amazed what will happen to you. When I started praying, I saw a lot of wonder. Number one, I thought the reason people were not succeeding in Benue was because Benue was a civil service state. So naturally, you have to be employed either as a teacher or as a lecturer. These are the kinds of jobs you find in Benue. And then you work for 35 years before you become a director. So all of us were aspiring to be lecturers. At least as graduate assistant, you will begin with 150,000 for a month. Meanwhile, this lecturing job, sometimes if you go for interview, you will see 6,000 people aspiring for 10 positions. 6,000. That means for one position, there will be over 800 people for one slot. Meanwhile, in these 10 slots, the governor has a slot. The VC has a slot. The Minister of Education, the Commissioner of Education has a slot. So after a while, they now trim me to 4 slots for 6,000 people. So I thought this was why people didn't succeed in Benue until I went on a 21 days fasting and prayer. And while I was praying, all of a sudden, my eyes opened and I saw a beast walk into my room. And I said, what is this? A beast. It was a lion with 2 heads. And it carried so much anger and vengeance. That was when I knew what the Bible said. The devil is roaming about as a roaring lion, looking for whom he will devour. So I knew that many people in Benue were devoured. What is this? In the place of prayer, and the hand of God took me up. And all of a sudden, that hand of God that took me up because I prayed changed things overnight. And I will be in my house, and somebody just reaches out and says, God told him to give me something. What do you mean? God told you. A point came when I had options of jobs for me to choose which one I wanted. The same job that 6,000 people will be competing for 3. Why? Something has shifted. When a man begins to pray, there is time for migration. Prayer does to you. I call it spiritual engineering. It doesn't matter if you were dull. It doesn't matter if you were weak. Only begin to pray. The Bible said Moses was a stammerer. But something happened. When Moses came to Horeb, the mountain of God, he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. And in the latter day of Moses' life, the Bible will say Moses was mighty in words and in deed. What happened to Moses? Something had happened. There was an engineering and a re-engineering of his molecular structure. So Moses did not only reach a point where he crossed death and could not die. Even the elements of Moses was altered. The same way that Jesus will ascend the mountain, and the Bible said, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Somebody here is dull. You've never passed the exam. But as you pray, that is what we call the excellent spirit that was upon Daniel. You will be in the place of prayer, and all of a sudden, something will happen to your IQ, and your IQ will begin to increase, and you don't know what's happening. And a day will come when you speak, they will say, ah, in him dwelleth the spirit of the Holy Ghost. It's a light and understanding was found in this Daniel. He could explain hard sentences. A point came when Daniel spoke. He spoke with a wisdom that was beyond the realm of mortals. Daniel became an immortal in his generation. Why? By prayer. You can enter your exam hall, and you have already seen the marking scheme in the spirit. You can go for the business seminar. You already know the subject before you came. Because before men deliberate, there's already a deliberation in the spirit. And you participate in the course of heaven. You can't fail on earth. Jerusalem began with prayer, but the point came, the church became big, and they entered politics, and they left prayer, and suddenly persecution hit the church, and the church scattered. But there was a man in Damascus. He was alone, so he knew there was no political fraternity. So what did he do? He was praying, and he entered a spiritual economy called networking. When you begin to pray in the spirit, you begin to network beyond time. And the point came, Ananias was not only networking with church members, Ananias began to network with Jesus. So the poor that wreaked havoc in the church in Jerusalem wanted to enter Ananias' territory. And suddenly, Jesus appeared in heaven and struck Paul. Why did Jesus not strike Paul in Jerusalem? Because the church in Jerusalem became a political church. But the church in Damascus was a praying church. And Jesus will tell Saul of Tarsus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he told him, it is hard to kick against the pricks. What you are trying to do, a man has entered the immortal dimension. If you try him, it will be like hitting a barbed wire. And Jesus will tell him, go into the city, you'll be told what to do. And suddenly, Ananias will throw to Paul. He knew the house of Paul. He knew Paul's name. And he came and he said, brother, suffer. The Jesus that appeared to you on your way to Damascus sent me. I am his partner in evangelism. How did Ananias understand that technology? It was because Jesus himself pioneered it. The Bible said 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went to the mountain. He said, as he prayed, he was transfigured before them. And he said, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias. So what was Jesus doing? Jesus brought the era of the kingdom. But Jesus was networking with the era of the law and the era of the prophets. And he collapsed the law and the prophets into the kingdom. Because on the mountain, you can mingle with anybody you want. Why? Upon Mount Zion, he said, the spirit of just men is made perfect. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. Some of us today, what we need is the boldness of blessing in the host to be able to challenge government. And that boldness is not in a book. That boldness is on the mountain. In Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4, he said the ear of David is like the mountains of Zion. And he said, there are the shields of many warriors. So the boldness of Bethel in Tahosa, the healing power of Catherine Kuma, the word of knowledge of what's his name now, Maron Branham, they are all mantles on the mountain. When you enter there, you may be a weak and a fearful person. But if you touch what Bethel in Tahosa done, all of a sudden, you will come down. And you will address the government, and they will be afraid. Ale, ale, yo. How do we know this? The Bible said Elijah was a man subject to like passion, just as you are. And what did Elijah do? Elijah challenged the powers that be. And there was a season where they needed a man to challenge those powers. And the only man to in all of the universes of God that could challenge power was the Elijah mantle. So the angel Gabriel came into the temple and told Zacharias, your son may go in the spirit and in the power of Elias. And when John knew, the Bible said he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. The day of his showing forth is not a date. The day of his showing forth is when the spirit of Elijah came upon him. And John will come out and say, repent. And the Bible said, the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. If you want to do and carry out stones for God in your generation, you will travel. You will travel. You will travel. You will travel. Because there are witnesses in heaven that have done what you want to do. So you need to journey in their path. You need to enter their path. There is a man that enters Scotland and says, give me Scotland or I die. Before you say, give me Onisha or I die, you must ascend to the mountain and receive the mantle of John Knox. It's in prayer. We call it spiritual networking. One man can take a nation. Because Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. If you do what Philip did, you will enter where Philip entered. And if you enter where Philip entered, you too can take your own Samaria. Pray in the Holy Ghost. To the church once again. Mountains are being given. To the church once again. For the truth to be born. For the ancients to arise. For the lions to be born. For the priest to arise. Ali, ali, oh.